We just thank you that we are your kingdom on this earth, and thank you that we can gather and be here. Lord, help us to understand our purpose, what your plan is for us. And as we look at that this morning, Lord, just give us insight into your will and your wisdom and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You need to press it, I think.
It's on. Great. Morning, everybody. I'm Charlie. You probably know me if you've had any interaction with Oxygen, because I've been around Oxygen for a long time, and I've been around NNBC as well. I just wanted to give a quick message today to our children and young people before they go out to our groups. So we're talking about Oxygen today and all of the stuff that we do. And one of the really, really big and important things that we do is we show young people what God's plan is for them and what their potential is and what they can do in their lives. And I think we've got a little bit of a video that we can show that illustrates that point a little bit for you.
I have a lot of memories from when I was a child. One that's always stuck out to me, though, was when I was about 10 years old, and I was in school, and I struggled. And I didn't struggle with English, math, or science. I struggled holding still. And I would try to listen and focus and process ideas, but I couldn't help myself. And to be honest, I would sit there, and then I would just start tapping. And the students in the class would look at me, and they'd say, "Hey, stop tapping." A lot of the time, I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then eventually even the teachers got after me, and they would yell at me and they'd say, "Clint, you have to stop tapping." It got so bad that I got sent to the principal's office for tapping. And he said to me, "Okay, maybe when you go back to class, just try sitting on your hands." And so I did. I went back to class, and when I felt myself starting to tap, I did this. I sat on my hands. And that worked for about 5 seconds. One time I was tapping in class, and my teacher, Mr. Jensen, he looked at me and he yelled. And he said, "Clint, stay after class." And I thought to myself, this is it. I am done. Now, I've always been the type of person that believes that a single moment in time can change a person's life. And this was one of those moments for me, and I will never forget it. And so I was sitting there with Mr. Jensen and an empty classroom. And he walked past me and he sat next to his desk and he said, "Clint, come here, I want to talk to you." And as he looked me right in the eye, he said, "Now, I need you to know something, you're not in trouble. But I do have just one question that I have to ask you." And he asked, he said, "Have you ever thought about playing the drums?" And in that moment, Mr. Jensen, he leaned back and he opened the top drawer of his desk. And he reached in and he pulled out my very first pair of drumsticks. And he held them in his hands and he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Clint, you're not a problem. I think you're a drummer." And from that moment on, I've never put those sticks down. I've toured, recorded, played drums all over the world. My whole college education was paid for with drumsticks in my hand. Just because of a single moment in time when somebody believed in me and he saw something in me that I didn't even see within myself. And from that moment, I learned that there's a difference between being the best in the world and being the best for the world.
Thank you. So, we, in all of the work that we do at Oxygen, we are trying to show children and young people what they can do, and we're trying to help them discover something about themselves. And that's a really, really good example, that video, of someone looking at a child and saying, "I recognize something in you, and I see something in you, and I see that potential." And that's what we try and do all the time in all of our work. And we try and show young people the way that God sees them. And we do that regardless of whether, whatever context we're working in, if we're in a school, we're in a youth club, we're in a church, we always want to show you how God sees you. And if you knew how God sees you and how much God values you, you would feel like you'd be able to do anything. And it's amazing to think that God has got a plan for each and every one of us. And that's what we try and do at Oxygen. We try and show people what God's plan is for them.
So, yeah, the theme of today is, what is God's plan? And I think that the video that you saw back there really sort of sums up what we try and do. I love that because it really shows what impact you can have in someone's life just by something so simple as just giving them a set of drumsticks. And I think that's what Oxygen is about, really, trying to sort of find out what it is that makes a young person tick. What does God see that young person as? And that's really hard to do at times because some of the young people we work with don't really have that sense of self-worth. They don't understand the world that they're in. And often it's us. They need people around them who are actually going to help them to discover their purpose and who they are. But before we get into that, I just want to sort of, for those who perhaps don't know about Oxygen, I'm the director. And it was a charity that was formed over 20 years ago by young people, some from this church, some from other churches around New Malden and further afield in Kingston. And their ambition was to try and reach out to other young people and have a way of connecting with them and sharing a bit of their faith and a bit of and wanting to respond to the needs that they could see in their peers. Can I have the next slide, please? So, yeah, our vision is to try and make Christ relevant to young people. And often that means walking alongside them, actually just finding out what's going on in their life and trying to be present. And we do that in a variety of different ways. But really, we're just looking to try and help them overcome challenges and try and then help them to see, you know, themselves as we might see them or as God might see them. And really, our work is trying to focus on those who really need that most. And we live in an amazing society, in a community that sometimes it's difficult to see the needs. But over the last couple of years, we've really sort of had to sit up and realize that actually there is some significant need out there right on our doorstep. And that's what we're trying to do, is to try and help those young people who perhaps don't have the best start in life, who perhaps have circumstances that they're battling or confront things that they don't know how to deal with. And I think as adults, it's really difficult at times to remember what it's like. Certainly as you get older, as old as I am, you tend to forget how hard it was when you were a lot younger. But yeah, just trying to walk alongside young people and find out where they're at and what's the things on their horizon. That's what we're trying to do. And in doing that, trying to just express some of Christ's love to them in a way that is maybe a little bit outstanding, a little bit different. Clint will always remember Mr. Jensen. Mr. Jensen has been somebody who had such an impact on his life, and yet all he did was just give him a set of drumsticks. And that's what we're looking to try and do all the time with young people. And really, that it summed up by a sort of motto that we put on things is believing in young people, because I know God believes in me. Sometimes I'd struggle to work out what I'm supposed to do with that and what my purpose is. But I do know that he does believe in every single one of us. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't. And actually trying to get that across to young people. Sometimes they don't have anyone who's rooting for them, anyone who's going to say, well done, if they've done well at school, or if they're looking a bit down, just to help them lift them up. And people have challenges and problems themselves, and sometimes that makes them not see what's in front of them. Yeah, I think you need to have a screw loose to do youth work, to be honest. You have to be a jack of all trades. You have to be able to wing it, because you just don't know what's... You open a youth club and a young person could walk in with some issue or some problem, or that last week they were really, really good, something's gone wrong, and suddenly they're the most difficult young person you've met. So you have to be able to think on your feet. But I just want to say thank you to the team at the desk there, because they had a struggle early this morning, and when I arrived at about 10 past 10, the projector wasn't linking to the desk, so they've worked really hard to get that working. So thank you guys so much. So what I thought I'd do next is just bring the team up and just do some quick introductions. This is the bit they hate, so sort of bear with them. So if I could just ask you guys to come up to the front, and I'm just going to ask you just to introduce yourselves. Charlie, I'll get you to go first. Yeah. So yeah, if you just want to say just a little bit about your role as well, that would be good. Okay.
So hi, I'm Charlie. I'm Deputy CEO of Oxygen, and I'm also coordinator of Kingston Street Pastors. I do lots of different things. I do our fundraising. I do some of our communications work and help to run our office. I have been involved in quite a lot of youth work over the years as well. And with Street Pastors, I run that project, and we go out on Friday and Saturday nights from 10 o'clock until 4 in the morning looking after people in Kingston Town Centre, which is a lot more fun than it sounds.
Hi, I'm Alice, and I'm the project coordinator for Oxygen. So my main job is to respond to the referrals that come through to Oxygen, so from local schools, parents, social services, and I'm trying to find them the best intervention and support possible. So I'll work with them initially to find out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and then hopefully put them into some sort of project, whether that be at the charity shop, volunteering there at the weekends or during half term, or I'm one of our youth projects at the youth centre.
Hiya, I'm Siobhan, and I've been with Oxygen for just over a year. And my role is a digital youth worker and communications officer. So I do the social media, but I also get to play video games, so Minecraft. So we have our own Minecraft server and Discord server. And as well as that, I go to the youth groups as well.
Hi, I'm Danica. I'm one of the youth workers for Oxygen, so I run the youth centre and also the after-school club at Coombe Boys.
Hi, I'm not really officially part of the team. I'm the support network of John, I suppose, and along with the kids, Dan and Josh, and Millie's over in Edinburgh at the moment, but she still calls in quite regularly. So, but I do, I'm still teaching 3 days a week, but I also work at the shop on a Friday and some Saturdays, and that's kind of my role.
Yes, I also do want to do just get up the trustees, because I know there's a number of them here. So Liz, do you mind just coming up? Thank you. Is there anyone else who's a trustee here? I think we've got O'Brien and Richard. Yes. I didn't tell them I was going to do this, so I'm testing out to see if they can do the winging it thing. So Brian, I'm just going to, could you just say what a trustee role is, please?
Trustee, yeah, it's been a privilege to be a trustee of Oxygen for a few years. We have an oversight, really, on how the governance is, the charity status. We put up, Oxygen became a charitable incorporated organisation a few years ago. We were involved in that, and that enables Oxygen to have this shop going. Not that it makes a lot of money, but it does act as a link to the community in New Malden High Street. We meet quite regularly, not much face-to-face, I'd imagine, the last few years. But we discuss money, because it's a continual battle to raise funds for this charity. Suggest ideas about where money can come from, and get reports from John, principally, and Charlie about how they're proposing to keep the thing afloat for the next few years. And God has amazingly looked after us, especially during this pandemic. I mean, I think we had no idea whether Oxygen would survive the pandemic, but somehow he has blessed us in a remarkable way with help from most strange sources, like the Rishi Sunak, for example, and enable Oxygen to keep afloat. And we look after the practical side of Oxygen, for overseeing new appointments, and making sure that there's a good relationship and health with the staff. But, you know, it's been amazing.
Hello there. I'm chair of the trustees. My privilege, and it's just wonderful to work with you guys. You're amazing, and the work of Oxygen is amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think I can add anything. Yeah, it's a privilege and great to see you all here this morning. But our job is just to listen and discuss and support John and Charlie and the team. And give direction where relevant.
It is really good to have a set of trustees who seem to have faith and trust, but also willing to ask some of the difficult questions at times and things like taking on the shop. You know, we really battled with things like that, but it has really produced amazing fruit, which we're going to hear a bit more about a bit later on. But thank you very much for coming up here, especially and winging it, especially for the trustees. Thank you. Liz, now you've sat down, can I get you back up again just to do the reading, please? Thank you.
The reading is taken from Jeremiah 29, verses 10 to 13. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Thank you.
I really like that verse because it really does reassure us that God has a plan. As with all plans, they're not sort of mapped out, absolutely carved in stone, because they do change. But I know that God's had a plan for my life, and that I've seen how that's, looking back, I can see how he's worked to make things happen. Sometimes got me into places where I perhaps didn't really think I was going to be. But I just wanted us to think through some of those things around how do we know that we have a plan? How do we know that God has that aspiration for us? And the key is at the end of that verse where it talks about you coming, us coming to him and being able to ask him about what the plan is, and he'll give us hope. And I think that really sums up the way in which we're trying to work with young people. We're trying to get them to see the hope that they have in the future. We meet so many young people who really don't have any aspirations. They're at school, they're working, they don't necessarily have a sense of who they are and what they want to be in life. Some do, and you meet them, and it's great when you do, and they're really confident. But the ones that we're working, the ones that we focus on, often don't have that desire to want to be something. If they do, it's generally around, you know, sport, or they want to be a celebrity, or they're, that's their aspiration, is to be famous. They haven't really got an idea how they're going to do that. But I find it really difficult at times to get across to a young person that actually you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have a way of, you're going to be able to contribute to the world, and getting them to feel that they've got that expectation on them. And I think sometimes the expectations that I see put on young people are either too high or they're too low, or they're really not that much about themselves. It's more about, you know, what they've got to do to get through the next phase of life. We meet a lot of young people who say they just feel like they're in a process of going to school, getting qualifications, and they've got to get 5 A to C's, GCSE. And for some of them, it just doesn't seem relevant. And so we often end up with the ones who come out of education or are struggling in education, and trying to get them to feel that there's a sense of purpose, there is a plan for their life, that there's something to look forward to. And it's a real challenge to do that. Next slide, please. I think when we meet young people, often they're in crisis. And I think over the last couple of years, when we've had to really change and think about how we work with young people, as we've all had to think about how we do things differently, having to do church on Zoom, I mean, that was bizarre. I'm really glad we sussed out fairly early on that it wasn't a good idea to have everyone singing live on Zoom, because that was quite painful. But no disrespect to anyone who sings here, but just how we do things, we've had to adapt and we've had to change. All of our work was face-to-face before COVID hit. When that happened, when that lockdown happened, and at the start of March, we were suddenly sort of like, all our tools had been taken away, and our hands felt like we were shackled, because we couldn't actually talk to young people. If they're not in front of us, how do we get engaged with them? Unless they've all got phones, or they've, you know, they can send text messages and they can communicate with each other. But it's not until the start of COVID that we realised actually that they might have a phone, but it doesn't have a phone contract with it, and all they use it for is to find the nearest Wi-Fi so that they can send WhatsApp messages. Or their parents are the ones that have got the internet at home. So when they've got to do stuff at school, they're actually having to do it on the back of their parents' internet package, which doesn't have much data on it, so they can't engage. So we really struggled early on to try and engage with young people and had to adapt very, very quickly. Of course, the shop had to close straight away. And pretty much all the practical things that we would be doing with young people, taking them out, running activities, we had to stop those as well. And of course, we had some really tough challenges. This afternoon is the memorial service for Peter Holmes. I would have given anything to have him up here today. He was a real rock. And actually somebody who, when I went to work, we work at St. Peter's Church, that's where the office is, and just seeing him in the building, most days if I just say hi, often if I had an issue or something I wanted to run by the trustees, oh, just see if Peter's in, knock on the door, he'd always have time. And just to have somebody around who you could run things by, and actually if it was a bit difficult, do you mind if we just pray together just about this issue? So to lose him was really difficult. And I think this afternoon is, you know, to have to wait this long to sort of have a service for him. You know, it's just the times that we're in, and we have to cope with that. But actually, this is the impact that people have. And Peter was somebody who had a real heart for the community, and he would do anything. You know, his passion was for the homeless and the lost, but he was there sort of as Oxygen was starting at the beginning and giving us that home at the church. I think that, you know, COVID has presented some challenges for us. But at the same time, it's also meant that we've had to rethink some of the things that we do, and why do we do them? What's the point of doing these things? So we've had to adapt. We had a lot of prayer, trying to support the team. We had a lot of people who work, who are volunteering for Oxygen, especially through the shop, who have quite severe needs. And actually, the shop represents a little bit of people giving, having purpose. Some people who are struggling with life perhaps don't feel they're contributing or receiving a lot of support from the state, from others around them. It's an opportunity for them to actually come to a place and actually contribute and put something into the community, and gives them that sense of being, having a value. So actually when the shop stopped, actually there was a lot of need there around us trying to support those people and trying to make them feel that actually they were cared about, they hadn't been forgotten just because they couldn't come into the shop. And we had some great things happen. Danica's mother, Tracy, actually was so frustrated at not coming in the shop, she thought, well, what else is there I can do? So she started making little resin crosses, and started sending them out to her friends, and friends would pay a pound and that would come into Oxygen. And now she's got pretty much a whole little industry going where I think the latest thing she's making is little angels that can go on the Christmas tree. So, and she must have made over £2,000 in the last couple of years just by doing that. But it's given her that sense of purpose, that sense of wanting to contribute and the ability to do that. So we really, really do want to help people discover why they're here and what it is that they can offer to the community. We did a lot of walk and talk. So we would meet young people up and just take them for a walk. You can't take them into a building, but you can meet them in a park. And actually, quite early on in COVID, Oxygen, it was recognised that Oxygen was one of these support organisations who was able to do that. So we had a role in going out and supporting young people who were really struggling. It was difficult to do because, you know, people were very nervous about COVID, but actually that was one of the things we started doing. And the other bit was digital engagement. Because we were struggling to engage with them over the internet, we managed to find an organisation who were giving out computers. So we've been able to allocate some computers to young people who perhaps didn't have them, and that has helped them to engage with learning. It's helped them to get online. But we also found that actually we want to do that in a way that's relevant to them. So just running a Zoom youth club, we tried that a couple of times and it sort of, you know, fizzled, partly because people, you know, didn't have internet connection and things like that. But yeah, having to adapt and change things, it made us really think, what's the best way to engage with young people? And of course, young people do like games, and they do like things like Minecraft. So Siobhan was the one who actually said, I think we might be able to do something here, set up a server. So we had a go at setting up a server. Some of the young people we work with are able to know a bit more about it than we did, so we took a little bit of advice. But some of the young people we're working with, we realised it's the only way we would be able to connect with them. So we had a go. We were told by some young people that we'd done it wrong, which was quite hard for Siobhan to take. But we, after listening to them and, you know, getting some input, we've set it up again, sort of got going again in the way that they suggested. Because actually, young people are the experts in these things. We're not the ones who know what we're doing. We're sort of learning from them. Is it possible, Hazel, to play the video? This is just a little bit, a look around the realm, and then I'm going to ask Siobhan if she wouldn't mind coming up and just saying a little bit about the impact it's having. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, as you know, I'm Siobhan, and I set up the Oxygen Minecraft server, and obviously I really like video games, so I thought as a youth worker, maybe I can get away with this and get to play video games for my job. But no, it's been really good. And you know, I know video games have been really, really helpful for my mental health, and I know that they are for quite a lot of young people, so it's been really good to kind of be able to engage with them. And I feel like we get to have quite good chats while we're on Discord having a conversation with the young people. I feel like we have conversations that we probably wouldn't be able to have if without that server. Because I know for a lot of young people that speaking to someone over a voice call and playing a game is a lot easier than face-to-face. And for a lot of them, they probably wouldn't come to a face-to-face youth club ordinarily. So being able to engage with them online has been a real blessing, and just to be able to see them grow, see the world kind of grow, see what they've built, has been amazing. And you know, to have like young people that have been really pushing boundaries with it, and to then see them grow and see them, you know, become young leaders on the server, and you know, saying to us, you know, I really look forward to Wednesdays. I love Wednesdays. I love talking to you guys and playing with you. So yeah. I think that's it.
Thank you very much. It is an approach that we use, try and use for all the work we do, is try and find out what makes a young person tick, what makes their that little twinkle in their eye, and then try and work through that to build them up, give them that self-esteem, that confidence that they need. And the lad you heard on the video is someone I've been mentoring, and he didn't come on and was that, he would come on and was quite angry and would build things that were, you wouldn't want to see in there. He was building penises and killing people and knocking everyone else's things down. But over time, because of Siobhan and Charlie, who also sort of goes online as well, he's just got that sense of, actually, this is normal activity. This is how you do things. And we're able to influence a world that he's in. He's on Minecraft, I'd say, every day for probably 6-7 hours at least. But he's linking in with other people, but enables us to also keep track of what conversations he's having with others, so it's protecting him at the same time. Thanks, Siobhan, for that. Alice, I was going to ask if you come up and just share a little bit about some of the work that you've done with some of the young people, particularly around school and the fact that you know, some young people actually thrived initially because of the support they were getting through schools. But yeah, at least Alice is doing a lot of work with our referrals. So,
hello, everybody. So we've had the pleasure to work with a lot of schools within New Malden. However, this Young Londoners Fund, which is a new grant that we've had for 2 years now, I think we've got 1 year left of it, has enabled us to work with other schools in other boroughs locally, so Sutton, Richmond, Epsom, kind of Chessington area, as well as New Malden and Kingston. So we've been able to work with a range of young people from a range of different schools locally, which I think has also like broadened our mindsets around other issues that may be going on in other areas, not just based in New Malden and Kingston, which we have a lot of knowledge about. There is hopeful plans to maybe engage with some churches over in Richmond and open up some youth centres over there. We've had a lot of referrals from over that way, so to have something in that area I think would be a really good opportunity for those young people there. Mentoring is a massive thing that I'm kind of leading at the minute. We have a lot of volunteer mentors, so if there's anyone sat in the room that thinks they could give a little bit of time once a week to a young person, we've got a list of over 80 referrals that need support, and they're ready to be matched with a mentor. So if you think that you can offer a bit of time once a week, or a bit of advice, or some skills that you may have that you wish to use, please come and talk to me, Charlie, or John at the end, because there's lots of young people in need of support. And there's just a bit of guidance. Anything else? Thank you.
I'm going to ask Lisa to come up and just talk a little bit about the shop and the impact that that has had and some of the challenges that we're facing there.
Okay, when we look back to what the shop, the actual original idea of the shop, I cannot believe where we've come, really. What was it, 2016, the original idea we had? And then we did lots of feasibility studies and we looked at venues, but I just can't believe when you look at the shop now, you know, we're not perfect, we're not totally and utterly organised, the whole thing needs a lot more work, but if you think of the steps we've taken to get there, it's absolutely phenomenal and definitely part of God's plan. And we realise that it's not about the money. You know, we don't make a huge amount of money. We'd love to make more. So actually your prayers about that would be brilliant. And to make enough money to make the hard work worth it would be really fantastic, because it's really hard work for everybody that's involved. So I think we're going to talk about at the end is some prayer champions. What we'd really love is to build up a prayer network around us to really boost the profit of the shop, and especially over COVID. I mean, we've touched upon this. The impact of COVID has been huge on retail generally, the high street, and we don't know how that's going to pan out. You know, we don't know how it's going to keep going in that way. But the shop, I know, is more than just a shop. And it's had a kind of a healing and restorative nature about it, and that's not just about the people that come in the shop, not just about customers, but it's about donators and volunteers as well. It's the whole place has that feeling of healing about it. When we first had the idea, we had the verse, I've just got it on my phone, hang on one sec. We had the verse 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. And what we wanted was the aroma of the shop to be the aroma of Christ in the high street. Now, we didn't know how that would go, but that is definitely what we feel the shop is about, is the impact that we can have on the people that come in. And I could stand here for hours telling you the stories of some... 2 minutes, okay, of the stories of the shop and the relationships we've made, you know, and it's really, really phenomenal. You know, I could tell you about a lady that recently came in and said, my mum used to come into your shop regularly. We hadn't seen her, obviously prior to COVID, before we shut. And she used to come in. She didn't ever remember any of our names. It was lady, lady, man, man. And she'd want us to help her find something that she wanted to buy. And she, over COVID, passed away. And her daughter came in two and a half weeks ago and said, I just want to thank you guys for being the place where my mum felt that she could come in and sit down, have a chat, maybe have a cup of tea or a glass of water sometimes. And she was really grateful for that. She was grateful that we were that place in the high street that she could come to. And there's lots of other stories about that. There's funny stories. There's quite, could be potentially tragic stories about someone that came and said goodbye and that she was going to go to the train station. And it was that moment she came in before she was going off to the train station, and but we're able to talk to her, give her a cup of tea, and just talk her through the problems. There's been very funny stories where someone had lost their beautiful ring and they had lost it somewhere in the high street, and they came in and we all sat with her, and a couple of us prayed, you know, please God, just let us find this ring. And we found the ring in the pallet at the front of the shop. And from then on, I think we offered to take her home and went back to her house, and well, you didn't because you were driving, but we had champagne. So it was like, you know, there's been lots of lovely stories like that. And we've got so many young people that come in and do their Duke of Edinburgh Award. They tend to stay with us because they have to do it for a month, I think. But they tend to stay if they really enjoy it. And one girl has just finished and sent me a text yesterday and said, I'm so sorry, I'm not coming down anymore. I've managed to get a paid job, but I'm going to miss you guys so much. And we used to come down every Saturday. And we had another girl who's gone on to college, and she came in a few days ago and said, I'm really missing the family of Oxygen. I'm missing the shop. I'm missing everything about it, but I haven't got time at the moment. And we, you know, it's great to make those relationships. And we on a Saturday, we have a lot of young people down, and we have some really, really unique girls and boys that come down. They're wonderful. And yesterday we had brilliant conversations about learning French and how tricky learning French was, and that what's the point of learning French? And we were trying to say, from my being old, you know, looking back, I wished I'd learnt French much more. You know, I was saying to them that your potential for you guys to get jobs in Europe, and it's really good to, I was trying as a teacher to say to them that it's wonderful to learn your languages, but they were, nah, there's no point, why are we learning French? So we tried this deep conversation about their exams and how tricky their exams are. You know, there's those sort of conversations which they might sound small to everyone, but actually they are really deep friendships and deep relationships going on there with each other and those in the shop. So I'm really proud of what God has done with everybody in there. And I say, it isn't perfect. There's loads of things we could stand and say, oh, God, you know, the sorting room drives us mad, or, you know, certain things around the shop that we want to fix. But, you know, God has definitely got it in his hands. He definitely has got that place holding it tight. And I just am proud that he's done immeasurably more than we can ever imagine from it. And we've got to dream big. For the future, dream big.
It is really exciting going into the shop on Saturdays, just because you don't know what you're going to get and who's going to be in. But it's always very, very entertaining at the very least. But it does feel like you're doing something that's giving connection, and it's connecting the community. And it's connecting young people who perhaps wouldn't connect with their peers or would be the ones who've been left out. But they seem to love coming in the shop, and we've got a few characters in there. We've got this one lad who comes in. I asked him the other week, would you like to just get the vacuum out and just vacuum as we're getting close to closing? He paused and went, no. Oh, yeah, right. So he's slightly autistic, so I realised I shouldn't have asked that question. What I meant to say is, I'd really like it if you would do the vacuuming now, please, before you go. Oh, yeah, great, absolutely fine. But it challenges us and it stretches us as well. So, but yeah, do pop in. And I know a lot of you do give and support the shop in some in fantastic ways. So thank you for that body of support that we need behind us. Going forward, if we can... Oh, I just want to mention the knife crime project. What's the point? Thankfully, one of the good things that happened with COVID is knife crime dropped a little bit. The sad thing is, it's now increasing again as we're coming out of COVID. So there's still a place for that. And what's happened with the What's the Point program is that Newham Youth for Christ have taken it on, and they've now got some funding from Islington Council to deliver programs going into their local schools using the What's the Point program that Oxygen developed. So Oxygen is having not just a greater reach in terms of depth of engagement with young people, but also a greater reach geographically, in that we've got people... I was over in Newham at their AGM, and they asked me to give a speech about the program, and it was... This is something that they are seeing God working through, and it's faith in schools in Newham that are taking it on. So it's a faith-based organisation that's got Christians in it going into schools delivering our knife crime programme. And we're now developing a junior programme as well that they're going to be piloting. So it's that body of Christ working together to, you know, one the hand knows what the other hand needs, and the other hand is using what was in this hand. And I just love that. I know that God's got us and he's working through us in that way. And it's really great to see him doing that. And we've, all we're doing is just responding to what God is saying we need to do. And the Knife Crime Project is something that is going to be sadly relevant for young people going forward for a number of years. But we've got a solution. It feels like we've got not necessarily the cure. It's a cancer that sort of is gripping our community. And we're doing something about that. If we can just move on to the next slide. Going forward, we're going to be recruiting a head of youth work and mission. The idea being that we want to really sort of support churches. And we met with some church leaders last week and talked to about the Minecraft. And they're really excited about the potential to have a night where young people from churches can log on to the server and get involved with each other and maybe make those connections in a way that they're used to using, but in a way that we can facilitate and that brings them together as young people from local churches. So church leaders are really keen to sort of explore that, so we're going to be sort of seeing how that will develop. But yeah, I'm just really keen that we continue to make that have that impact on young people's lives. If we can just have the next slide, please. Yes, oh, that's it. Lisa's mentioned that we need volunteers, so thank you. The next one, please. That's just the impact that we can have, is that we can save a life, and we've saved a life because of the Knife Crime Project with this lad who was stabbed after attending the program a couple of months after, and he survived because of what he'd learned on the Knife Crime Project. And I just want us to be continuing to go forward and have that effect on the community that we're in. We are working with local authority. We're about to hand back the youth centre, which we've been running over the last sort of 4-5 years, but the council are very keen that we continue to deliver work in those areas. They see the value of what we're doing. We want to engage in those communities. We want to be hitting those young people. I said that wrong. We don't want to be hitting young people. Please, we want to be having an impact on those young people that we see in front of us, that we can see sort of some of those who are most needy in our community. The young people who wouldn't engage with each other. One of the lads I'm working with has tried to commit suicide 3 times since I've started working with him. His self-esteem is so low, but actually he's starting to engage. He's starting to come through. It's, you know, there's hope there, and we're providing that for him and his family. So please continue to support us. And you can support us in so many different ways. Giving to the shop is fantastic. We are full at the moment, but it won't be long before we've got through what current donations. But actually, your prayer support and your giving really, really is valuable to us. And what it means for me is when I'm going and having the conversations with the local authority who want us to do mentoring, who want us to do a youth board for those young people who are at need, I can say to them, we are a Christian organisation. We're supported by local churches. And for me to be able to say that, they then understand that comes with that behind it, you know, and it's the Christian, it's the church, it's Christ who's motivating the work that we're doing. They're happy to give us funding for it, and that's that for me means that we're doing something right. If other people are saying, we want to help you do what you're doing, that's the way I want it to be going forward. So please continue to pray. I've got a sheet down here that if you read, we've split up the week into AM, PM and evening. If you could do anything today, please just put your name into one of those boxes and just hold us up in prayer. The shop is running 5 days a week. We've got projects going as well throughout those times, and we've got things happening with young people offline as well. So please do come and sign up to just give us that prayer support as well. That would be really appreciated. But yeah, I just want to reiterate my thanks and the value it is that for me and for the team, just to be able to know that you have got us in your hands and God's got us in his hands, and that he has a plan for us and he has a plan to prosper what we're doing. And I feel a really strong sense of purpose. I'd love to think of other things I could do with my life, and I wondered at one point whether I could be a policeman or make furniture, but I keep getting this feeling I can't move away from youth work. And I hope that that's what we're trying to do, is get other young people to discover that sense of what their purpose is in life and give them that sense of worth and help them to see themselves in the way that God sees them. Thank you very much.